morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this cold and snowy February morning. Although I hear the groundhog saw his shadow, so spring is coming. No, didn't. Spring is coming, though, right?
Yes.
Right?
Early spring.
Okay, early spring, you know, got to note the irony of that. I have a few announcements to share with you this morning. The first is to remind session that we are having our monthly session meeting at 7 o'clock in the library on Wednesday. Also, if you are the treasurer of an organization, the auditors need your information today so they can start going through it in preparation for our spring congregational meeting. I think those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. What does the Holy One require of us? To be just, kind, and humble before God. Give thanks to God with your whole heart. Great are the works of the Lord. Now faith, hope, and love abide, and the greatest of these is love. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 19, God of Great and God of Small. Now in our prayer of confession. O Lord our God, you call us to proclaim the gospel, but we remain silent in the presence of evil. You call us to be reconciled to you and one another, but we are content living in separation. You call us to seek the good of all, but we fail to resist the powers of oppression. You call us to fight pretensions and injustice, but we sit idly by, endangering the lives of people far and near. Forgive us, O Lord. Reconcile us to you by the power of your Spirit, and give us courage and strength to be reconciled to others. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Now, as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another in faith.
Thank you. We have three prayer requests today. Two are from Roy Weckerly. First is for his wife, Janet, who had her hip replaced on Monday. So prayers for her recovery. I understand she's doing quite well, which is a wonderful thing to hear. After they returned from the hospital, Roy heard from his sister-in-law, Janet's sister. She fell and broke her hip outside a Giant Eagle. So she's in the hospital. So that's unfortunate. Her name, what is her? Holly.
Holly
is her name, yes. And the last prayer request is from Linla for Jeff Epley. He's a friend. He's in the hospital, can't walk due to back pain, trying to figure out what is going on, and this is my best friend's husband. So keep Jeff in your prayers.
Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our hymn of preparation, number 172, Blessed Are They.
Blessed are they.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you on this chilly January morning with both our joys and our concerns. Lord, we pray that you would send your Spirit to be with us in the midst of what can sometimes be hard experiences of being human. Especially today, Lord, we pray that you would tend to the sick and bring them healing. We pray for Janet as she is at home recovering from her hip replacement. We pray that you would be with her sister Holly as she recovers from a broken hip. And we pray that you'd be with Jeff, who's in the hospital. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, this morning we lift up to you our president's impeachment trial. We pray that you would be with the senators this Wednesday as they vote on the direction to move our country in. Lord, we also pray that you would present a solution for an end to the coronavirus that is affecting our brothers and sisters in China, but really throughout the world. We pray that you'd be with doctors and nurses who care for those who have fallen ill, and we pray that you'd be with leaders of nations as they determine how best to contain the virus. Finally, Lord, we lift up to you all of our brothers and sisters who were not able to attend worship this morning because of the weather. We pray that you would send your Spirit of peace to be with them as they begin a new week. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you would fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in the world. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning.
Today's reading comes from Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. It's going to be really hard for me not to sing it. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Bless the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning, our scripture reading is the Beatitudes, sometimes referred to as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes contain eight blessings. In the Gospel of Matthew, this sermon is Jesus' first public act in his ministry. In it, he identifies eight characteristics of discipleship. In other words, these are the behaviors that he wants his followers to exhibit in their own lives. The reward for such behaviors is this thing called blessedness. Blessed comes from the Greek word makarios, which means to be fortunate or privileged. Blessedness is not necessarily the same thing as happiness, which is a state of being content, or holiness, which is a state of being devoted to God. I like to think of blessedness as a state of being with or feeling particularly connected to God. You'll notice that throughout the Beatitudes, Jesus promises blessedness, particularly in the midst of hard human experiences. Things like mourning or meekness or peacemaking, persecution and poverty of spirit. It seems that being blessed isn't necessarily to make us happy or particularly holy, but for the sake of making it through that which is difficult. I didn't fully appreciate what it means to be blessed until my sister and I found ourselves caring for my mom after her hip replacement surgery. As some of you know, my mom hasn't had the easiest recovery. Her hip deterioration before the surgery was pretty severe, and she's been in a lot of pain during her recovery. Emily, my sister, and I underestimated how much care she was going to need immediately following the surgery. It became very clear to us that someone was going to need to be with her overnight. My sister, being the saint that she is, took the night shift the first week after surgery, and I took the night shift the second week. As anyone who has cared for a loved one knows, caregiving is challenging, but ultimately holy work. Particularly caring for one's parent, who, through no fault of her own, is sick. And when people are sick, they tend to be a little bit cranky. In addition to my mom's hip pain, she's also going through menopause, which means she doesn't sleep well on good nights, which means whoever is with her overnight isn't sleeping well either. Mom's lack of sleep is prolonging her hip recovery, and my sister and I's lack of sleep led us to our breaking point. During those really difficult moments of caregiving, I got to thinking, what does blessedness look like in the midst of the hard human experience of caring for a loved one? Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." People who are poor in spirit are the people who aren't full of themselves. Because they aren't full of themselves, they can identify and empathize with other people's pain. These are the people who are somehow able to put other people's needs above their own and be really present with those who are suffering. Folks who are poor in spirit are able to show us what open lives lived in service to others look like. They are the ones that you call at 2 a.m. when you're sick or when your car breaks down, because you know they will drop everything to help you. I've learned that caregiving requires a poverty of spirit that doesn't come naturally to many of us. I learned this when I was in the waiting room waiting for my mom to get out of surgery, and I watched 2 grown siblings screaming at each other because they disagreed over the direction of their dad's care. As I watched them arguing with each other, I learned that it's actually really hard to put another person's need above your own when you didn't get enough sleep, when maybe there wasn't time to eat breakfast, or when you're worried about the emails that are piling up in your inbox. In caring for Mom, I learned that my sister is actually a really exceptional caregiver. She's able to keep a list in her head of when my mom needs to take her next dose of medicine and somehow remember that the litter box needs changed, too. She's great at asking the exact right questions during Mom's doctor's appointments. She's also really good at encouraging my mom when she's had a bad day. For someone who caregiving doesn't come as naturally to, it was wonderful to have such a good role model. But the most important thing I learned over this last month is that just because caregiving doesn't come naturally to me, this doesn't mean that I shouldn't do it or that I have an excuse to get out of doing it when I need to. I suspect that as we read through the list of Beatitudes, there are certain behaviors that will come more naturally to us than others. For example, I would rather moderate a tense meeting than take Mom to physical therapy appointments, but I'm sure there are some among us who would prefer the physical therapy appointments over meetings that are going on forever. But I don't think Jesus shares these blessings with us so that we can pick and choose the behaviors that come more naturally to us and which ones we'd prefer that someone else do. Ultimately, the Beatitudes are a call to live a life of holiness and righteousness in response to God's grateful deeds in Jesus. We are not going to be great at every single one of them. But we do our best when life presents us with an opportunity to practice one of them, to embody them. Because we know that this is the holiness that Jesus expects from those who call himself his disciples. You'll notice that these behaviors are unnatural and perhaps countercultural. But that is exactly the point. The point is for us to practice behaviors that prepare us for citizenship in the kingdom of God. And also point others to a kingdom where the lowly will be exalted and the mighty will be brought low. A kingdom that began with Jesus' birth. One that is spelled out in the Beatitudes, that culminates on the cross, and that will be completed when Jesus returns. Friends, if we choose to follow Jesus into God's abundant life, then we will need to conform to the behaviors of kingdom living. And one way to do that is to welcome opportunities to embody the Beatitudes in our everyday lives. See, kingdom living is a responsive life. God acts, and we do our best to respond in ways that are faithful. But we are only able to respond because we know that we are blessed. We know that God is with us always. Nothing we can do will change this. So we practice kingdom behaviors in response to our love for our God, who promises to never forsake or abandon us. My question for us this week is, how will you respond to God's blessing in your life? Because if you take nothing else away from this sermon, I hope you take away that you are blessed. Even if it may not feel like it all the time, God is with you always. Even and especially during the hard moments of being human. Now, not all of us are going to be given opportunities to care for a sick parent, but all of us will be given opportunities to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to pursue peace, or to be persecuted for our faith. Jesus challenges us to respond to these opportunities with patience, meekness, gentleness, and poverty of spirit, knowing that we do so not from our own merit, but because we believe and we know and we hope that our God is with us always. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can remain seated for our next hymn. It's number 501, Feed Us, Lord.
To sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and blessed it and broke it, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast that he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say to the glory of your name.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant, shed for you with my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The gifts of God for the people of God. The blood of Christ.
At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 62, "Love the Lord Your God." Blessing as we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.